Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Rattler under center, fourth down and one. On the roll, Rattler throws, it's deflected and intercepted by Edmonds. Tremaine Edmonds with the pick. And Rattler with his third interception thrown today. The Bears take it away. Up 12 in the fourth.
Well, I tell you, this is a great job by this Bears defense because they've got everything covered. You're going to take a flat route here. You're bringing a wide receiver down the field this way. That's covered. And then you're trying to find your tight end coming back into the middle of the field. Jack Skoll right there. There's four defenders. A great job by the Bears. They had everything covered. There was nowhere for Spencer Rattler to go.
Dennis Allen, yeah, he's fired up.
You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by BC Bank and Greg Clips. That was the call on Fox as the Bears take down the Saints 26-14. And the Bears now winners of four in a row, improving to 4-2 on the season, much like they were last year. But we do expect this one to go much differently than where they were last year at 4-2 and finish the season with just five wins. 312-644-6767. Are you resetting, reassessing your expectations of the 2025 Bears? Again, you can call us at 312-644-6767. That same number, you can call us. Text us there as well. Just to remind you of what's coming up today on the Score for Mully and Haw. They will have Olin Kreutz at 7 o'clock, TJ Edwards at 8, then Brad Biggs at 9. Anthony Heron will join Raheemy Harrison Grody at 11 o'clock, Dan Weeder at 1 o'clock. And then for Spiegel and Holmes, Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer at 3 o'clock, Jason Leisure of the Chicago Sun-Times at 4 o'clock. This was very much the, we can call it the Dennis Allen revenge game. The Bears try to downplay that, but then when you watch Ben Johnson give him the game ball in the way that he did, you know that it meant a lot to Dennis Allen. You know that it probably was discussed plenty throughout the week. But besides being a revenge game, this was very much a I know the answers to the test kind of game. Whether it's Dennis Allen setting his defense because he's aware offensively what they can do, or vice versa, the insight that he can offer Ben Johnson on the Saints defense and how the Bears offense can attack it. Because again, you know, perhaps the most famous example of this is John Gruden and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl going up against the Oakland Raiders, which he was the head coach of the year prior. Like, great coaches, if you know a personnel that well, you should have a leg up. You should have an advantage. And Dennis Allen had been with the Saints for a decade, from 2015 under Sean Payton until he became the head coach in 2022 until he was fired midseason in 2024. So absolutely that should be an advantage. And absolutely you'd like to think it would play out the way that it did. Bears have four takeaways. They look to be in the right place at the right time about always. And yes, they rattled Spencer Rattler. Let's check in with our postgame show here on 670 The Score. Moley, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz, and get their reaction to the Bears' four-game winning streak.
Was it a perfect game, right? But the Bears are winners, so that's very happy.
Yeah, that's a good win, right? I mean, these are a lot different than what we've done in the past. So it was a nice win to go up 20-0. I think all you can talk about really for, I mean, there's some bad things, but we'll talk about the good stuff. But there was two possessions, right? Right before the half and then coming out in the second half and giving up 14 points. But the run game, guys, the run game was amazing. Takeaways again, I was wrong. I said plus two. They were plus three in the takeaways with four and giving one away. Caleb didn't play the best game in the world, right? No, but they still won with that run game. It's a credit to the O-line. This is a game where you've got to get a lot of credit to those guys up front, Coach Roschar and his unit. They dominated that game. What were the stats here? Were 222 yards rushing. You know, DeAndre Swift averaged 6.5 yards a carry. Kyle Manungai averaged 6.2. And then the defense, guys, the defense is playing hard. They are flying around. They look like they're having fun. They're playing aggressive. That's obviously how takeaways come. But what a fun game to watch. What an easy game to watch. You know, I kind of sold at the pregame that this is a better 1-5 team than their record. And scared me there for a second when they scored those two touchdowns back-to-back to end the first half and start the second half. But the Bears dominated overall, and that was a fun game to watch.
It really was. It really was. And to win the NFL is hard, and to win four in a row is really hard, mm-hmm. no matter who you're playing, no matter who shows up at Soldier Field to play. Bears favored to win today, but they go out there again, play fast, physical, tough football is what we watched today, man. And talked about going to the game with the wind and the elements. Run the ball, right? Have the O-line take over, put it on the big guys up front. And I think those guys are getting a little bit of a groove, right? Coach Roschar, offensive line coach for the Chicago Bears, Eric Bieniemy, running back coach for the Chicago Bears. A lot of questions first two or three weeks. What's wrong with the run game? Why can't they get it going? And just kept talking about, okay, maybe they got to get to know each other, get a little more comfortable with the concepts and what they want to run and what they want to ask their guys to do. And what we're seeing now, Pat and Mully, is a run game coming together, right? And really, guys, I know Caleb didn't look great. It didn't play great in the pass game. Didn't look great, but the threat of the pass game is there. And you can see it just by the way the New Orleans Saints calls defense, right? It's not like they don't exist, Pat. It's not like you line up and you're looking at goal line defense or short yardage all game. They are giving them favorable run fronts because that is Roma Dunze. That is DJ Moore, right? That is Colson Loveland. That is Swift. And Caleb can get the ball down the field, and he can threaten you with his arm. So all those things need to work together for that run game to look the way it looked. And then, man, that defense and Dennis Allen and what they're doing and covering people and Al Harris, how long are we going to keep him as our secondary coach? That secondary, even with their injuries, very sound, play very fast, Brisker off the edge, Kyler Gordon blitzing, right? Tremaine Edmonds on fire. I mean, four takeaways again. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, it's unbelievable, man. I mean, that's 15 in four games. They're on a torrid pace right now. Take the win, obviously, week to week. But they look tough, fast, and physical to me out there, man. And they did what they had to do to win the football game.
Hey, Olin, is this 7-on-7 team becoming a physical team? It looks
they
like
really
it.
Are. They you really are, yeah. man. And that, you know, that outside zone right with that combination block between Dolman and Jackson. And Jackson took a lot of heat for early on in the weeks. And even today, sometimes his pass pro is in question over there at right guard. But look, man, that run game today with Swift and Manungai coming downhill. And, you know, even Komet goes out and injuries they had. And really that inside three, Tooney and Benedict cutting off the backside. And then Darnell Wright just all game long leaning on guys. Really was fun to watch today.
Olin, correct me if I'm wrong. Ray Diaz and I watched the game together, and we were talking about, and Moose was talking about it, how they're kind of running the same plays over and over, but they're window dressing it with formations, with motions, and all that kind of stuff. Is that what we're seeing? I just, you know, they're running, it looks like the same plays, but guys are moving all over the place in the backfield, and that's confusing linebackers, getting them, you know, maybe not sure what's going to happen. But then that simplifies it up front for the guys knowing we're running these same plays. They're still going to line up the same way.
Yeah, we talked about that in pregame, right? That's what they did last week. Talked about how they dressed up their motions and stuff, but it's the same concept for the offensive line, right? They're getting reps at the same blocks, the same looks, how they want to fit in on double teams, how this linebacker, you know, we saw an early miss on Demario Davis by, you know, by Darnell Wright on a combo up to the linebacker. Well, if you run it again, he'll get him the next time. Was it something that we always said, run that play again. I know how he wants to play that now. And we talked about that's what they did last week coming out of bye week, right? Coach Johnson said, let's cut the menu down. Let's just put more motions, run different plays out. And then they have just enough special plays, I like to call it, where it's like you're going to run it two or three times a game and it keeps people off balance. You see what this Zacchaeus, right, end around. Or you see it with the, like, it's like a fake jet sweep, bend run play to Swift. And it just keeps the defense just enough honest that they can't play that one play. And it's really what all the really good running teams do, right, Pat? And you know that. I mean, they don't have 50 million concepts. They're really committed to one thing. Everyone knows what they got to do on that play. And it looks like the Chicago Bears, again, for 2 weeks, that's what they've been doing, man. And it was fun to watch. And then that defense just really fast, really physical, and they will hit you when you get the ball out there in the open field.
Real quick, you know what's nice? Is that we have an offensive genius as a head coach, right, who loves the run game. Who's committed to the run game, dressing up the run game, making sure the run game works. I mean, this is a nice thing to be talking about. To talk about, you know, the intricacies of a run game compared to a pass game, and that's how you had to win today. Caleb didn't have his greatest game, but they still dominated. They dominated the line of scrimmage, and a lot of credit goes to Ben Johnson and his offensive staff of dialing up a run game to dominate and win a game.
Yeah, and that's what Ben did in Detroit, right? When he had the number one offensive line in the league, and he had two really good running backs. But I do want us to make this point. The last 2 weeks, the running game is working, is sound, because of the threat of Caleb and the pass game. And they're not great, but just the play calls coming in from the sideline, you see a lot of light boxes, I like to call them. That means you have a guy to block everybody, Pat, right? And when you're watching the game, you're thinking, man, that is a favorable look for a run play, right? And the fact that Ben would call anything at any time, and Caleb has the arm, and Romo Dunze and DJ Moore and those guys can threaten you down the field. The fact that you have that threat, even though it doesn't look like they did great today and the yardages don't look great, the threat of it and the play call from the sideline allows you to run the ball.
And as Ben Johnson said last week, boy, if they ever get those penalties solved, they'll be an awful hard team to beat. They had another 10 penalties, and I don't know how many were pre-snap penalties, but there was four or five that were that really got them off their timing, and it was difficult. And maybe they got away with a couple things. The whole thing with Jude Dahlman, the center, and the first snap, they were saying that should have been the one where he never snapped the ball. I didn't know if that was like a center fake or something, but he never snapped the ball. It should have been an illegal snap on that play.
Yeah, it should have been a lot of things, but what you're seeing there is the center anticipating the count, and something changes there, right? And I don't know if it's Caleb or Drew was going too early, or Caleb with the motion hold the cadence a little longer, and Dahlman is trying to time the count, which he does on every play. It just gets a little more critical and faster pace down there, closer to the end zone. And I know I've never seen where the ball, obviously I've done a lot of things, right, with the football at center, the center position, but where I held on to the ball while the play was going, I've never seen. Then he got hit and tackled it, or trying to make him fumble, and that was kind of a crazy play altogether. But as Pat knows, I've worked with a lot of different quarterbacks in and out, and even during the season, sometimes go to 3 to 4 quarterbacks, and cadences change, and you know these guys, what is this? They're 6th game together, right? So sometimes they have to go back and still learn from it, but they beat a team, and hopefully they learn, like, look, man, next time I have this motion, I'm going to hold that cadence just a little bit longer, so don't jump it. Stay patient.
Yeah, guys, you know, we've seen in the past, and we've talked too many times, when there are penalties and issues like that, the Bears can't overcome them. You know what I mean? They're turning the ball over. They're giving the ball back. They're not scoring a field goal. They're the main issues that are causing losses. Now they're overcoming them, which is huge. I mean, what you said, 10 penalties, 92 yards.
Yes.
Two snapping infractions, whatever you want to call them. Got lucky with one to get the 3 points and go up nine instead of giving the ball back to them. But this
you
is
got,
the sign of
you
a
got
good
lucky,
team.
You got lucky with the other one because it sent the back 5 yards and they got the field goal. I mean, those were important points to get at that moment in the game.
Yeah, you know, I know Ben Johnson and his deal of being aggressive, but that to me, to go up nine –
yes.
I don't know. There are some points in the game or some points during the season or whatever it is that just take the points and be a little smart. And I'm glad it didn't bite them. I don't think it would have at the end. I think the Bears just outplayed them no matter what. But that's a situation where just me being the observer, the fan, analyst, whatever it is, take the 3 points there and just make it a two-possession game for sure.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes there, take the points and Ben doesn't care.
Yes.
I think Ben should take the points, and then I wrote, I think Ben doesn't care.
Yeah, exactly. they did wind up with 222 rushing yards versus 44 for the Saints. I mean, that is a very dominant performance for the Bears in terms of the rushing game, and to see them do it the way they did it with another big game from DeAndre Sweat. I mean, it was pretty sensational to see him get 124 yards, I believe, on 19 carries. Kyle Monunge, he got 13 carries. That's a high in his career. Rookie seventh rounder, and he got 81 yards, also a high in his career. And that was great to see both those guys sort of, you know, used in the way they were used. Even got 11 yards from Roschon Johnson, which we never thought we'd see.
We talked about going to the game, right, that what looked repeatable from the Commanders game, and it was the run defense and running the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what showed up again, right, in that run defense. They're fitting in well. Billings continues to play good football since they've inserted him as a starting nose guard. All of them, though, really, their run fits. Yeah. With T.J. Edwards coming back, Kyler Gordon coming off the edge, Brisker. You heard the Moose mentioned that, you know, Kellen Moore mentioned that Kyler Gordon comes off the edge really worries him, right, because he's that good at blitzing. And we just see that this team all fitting together and doing those two things along with these takeaways, man. They're hard to beat. They're hard to beat in football, and that's what we're seeing from this Chicago Bears team.
I thought the defense during a sequence there in the first half, they were just so dominant. It was kind of extraordinary to see them, you know, whether it's Brisker, whether it was Gordon. I mean, Montez Sweat had another good game, and we've called him out quite a bit for not having great games. I thought he played well. I thought they got a lot out of that defense. It was really very impressive for a few series there.
I'll be honest with you guys. You know, last week I joked we have Kyler Gordon and T.J. Edwards back, and the run game is now stopped, right? We're going to stop the run game. Well, they have. They look different, man.
Right.
They look different. They play. It looks more aggressive. It looks more physical. Just looks like they've turned it up a notch or two, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? They've gone from like an 8 to a 10 or like a 7 to a 9. Their effort just looks a little bit hard. Like they're playing a little bit harder. I don't know what it is. They have a little bit more swagger. But those two guys, I mean, they've made a difference. They really have. I didn't know they'd make that big of a difference. And they're fun to watch. You watch Brisker and Gordon come off the edge. It's a lot of fun. And that was it Gordon that got the call or Brisker that got the call? He hit the guy too hard and they called a personal foul.
Yes.
Yeah, I disagreed with that one. I guess he left his feet and the letter of the law or the letter of the rule or whatever, but
yeah.
I just disagree with that. That's just physical football.
I hated the penalty for roughing the passer on a play when he hit the passer's arm before the ball was released. It changed the trajectory of the pass. And on the follow-through, he hits him in the helmet, and they throw a flag for that. You got to be kidding me. That's all one motion, and the guy's holding the ball when he hit him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's anytime you hit the quarterback in the head, it's a personal foul. I understand that. But I agree with you, Molly. There should be a change. If you're swinging for the football and you actually get a piece of the football, it shouldn't be a penalty, you know, because you're going to cause, a takeaway there, a fumble. And they just to your point, Pat, this defense, man, they have been on fire. And really, they weren't stopping a run. But before T.J. Edwards and Kyler Gordon came back, they were getting still the takeaways. They're still getting.
Yes.
I mean, it's unbelievable to watch the pace that they're on. I mean, that Montez Sweat, the secondary, right, that Montez Sweat fumble, he made the secondary made him, the quarterback, Rattler, hold the ball in the pocket. Billings pushes his guy back. He's got to step up, and Montez punches it out. That must have been about 5 seconds after the snap. I mean, that's how good that secondary is covering there on second and four. So just really, as a unit, that defense right now, Dennis Allen and all his coaching staff, I mean, that along with just everything you're watching right now, to come back from that, you know, starting 0-2 and go on this run, really, really impressive run right now by the Chicago Bears and what they're accomplishing.
Yeah, and it seems like everybody on the defense is fulfilling the role. I'm talking about Kevin Byard being that senior leadership back there that he has, the senior player. That was a great shot they showed of him reading Rattler's eyes when he's pointing, you know, go left, or whatever, and he sees it. He's like, I'm going to get over there and intercept the ball. But that's what a veteran does. And everybody seems like they're playing their role and they're playing to what they're supposed to be playing as. And Dennis Allen has really got this team. He seems like he knows everybody's skill set now and has them all dialed in.
Yeah, he looked like he enjoyed that game. I mean, as much as he held his emotions in check, he seemed at the end like he really enjoyed it.
Well, even the coaches, right, Pat? I mean, when that ball's popping out, they're like, whoa, there it is again. You know, like you go on runs like this, you got to enjoy them.
Yes.
Right? You got to enjoy the run that they're on right now. And we talked about going on a pregame show how when you play for a certain coach and he says, look, if you just do this, this will happen. The first couple of times you don't listen to him, you're like, gosh, that's what he was talking about, right? And then you see everyone start to buy in. And this defense has bought into Coach Allen and his staff and what they're selling over there on that side of the ball, because they are all just, okay, this is my job. This is my role. This is the role I fill. This is what I do. And he has asked, like, you know, T.J. Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds to fill different roles, right, to do opposite of what they did last year and to believe in what he's asking them to do. And they've done that. And since T.J. Edwards came back, Tremaine Edmonds is a totally different player.
Yeah. Right. He's lined up perfectly.
I'm going to give you an example, guys. I saw it during the game, and this is just something for me being on the sideline for most of the game. And you're talking about buy-in. You're talking about team buy-in. Torrey Taylor had a punt he put out on, what, the 7 or 8 yard line on the sideline. And I think it was Kyler Gordon or Jaquan Brisker, I didn't know if it was a 6 or 9, is running down the sideline, chasing the punt and celebrating it. You know what I mean? That's the team celebrating each other. That is a true team buy-in. That's when everybody is into the game, every situation. I know it's a little thing, but that's stuff I saw on the sidelines of good teams that cared about everything. They were in on everything. And when I saw that, I turned to Ray again, and I'm like, all right, this team is bought in on everything. They're pulling for everybody. That doesn't happen. That happens on good teams, and that happens on teams that care about each other.
And fun to watch.
Yeah, it was a really fun watch. Congratulations to Colston Loveland. He had three receptions, which tied him for the team lead with DJ Moore. He gained 24 yards. Moore gained 43. And Roma Dunze had two catches, along with Manungai had a couple catches. And Olamide Zaccheaus had a couple of catches. So that was good, the way they distributed the ball. But, you just kind of hope everyone is healthy. We saw some guys leave, and we know Cole Kmet left the game with a back injury, did not return. We know that Tyreek Stevenson left the game and could not return, and with a shoulder. And he's now gone from a guy who you kind of were wondering where he fit in to, oh, no, don't let them lose him. You know, you kind of have a totally different feel for that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he is – when he's in coverage, man, he is all over, though, with that guy, right? He plays physical in the run game. You know, he almost plays in the run game like a safety to me when he hits people and gets after people. So he has really raised his level, I think, under Al Harris' tutelage. We talked about that. Everyone's talked about what Al Harris has brought to that defense, the secondary coach for the Chicago Bears. And I think that Tariq Stevenson losing him, Mully, like you're talking about, injuries piled up. Cole Kmet, I think, went out. Yep. DJ Moore looks like he's a little banged up. So want this team to stay healthy with the run that they're on. Because obviously, like we know, they're already missing Johnson, right? And that's the thing you watch, is defense. You're like, man, they don't even have what you consider right. their best player right. out there, right? And it's just an amazing run that they're on. And now that this guy is, you know, you don't want to lose both your starting cornerbacks going into the year. That would really be big, like you're saying, Mully. But hopefully he just got dinged up a little bit. And they get good news here on Monday or Tuesday that he's fine and ready to go, because they definitely need him in that secondary.
I always enjoy listening to our post-game show. And speaking of, Olin Kreutz will join Mully and Hall coming up at 7 o'clock this morning. And that great defense, the Bears, that they put out there, you can tell how different they look now that T.J. Edwards is back as a linebacker. The local guy, Chicago native T.J. Edwards, will join Mully and Hall coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. And they mentioned, the guys mentioned in there, the decision, well, the attempt to go for it on fourth down. Let's talk more about that. We'll revisit what Daryl Johnston had to say on the broadcast, the highlight in itself. We'll also hear from DeAndre Swift. And we are asking you at 312-644-6767, have you had to reassess about how good this team is and how far the 2025 Bears team can go? We'll take your phone calls and your text at 312-644-6767. More coming up on 670 The Score.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Rattler gets away from Sweat. Directed traffic. Wants to throw downfield. He's got Shaheed out there, and instead it's intercepted by Kevin Byard. His fourth pick of the year. Spencer Rattler saw Rashid Shaheed running free, but he missed him. Byard there to secure it, and the turnover for Chicago.
How about it? Three interceptions, one fumble, four takeaways for the Bears in Sunday's victory over the Saints, 26-14, the final, as the Bears have won four in a row, improving to 4-2 on the season. Judson Richards along with you all the way until 5 o'clock this morning. You want to jump in, 312-644-6767. What do you make of this team? What do you make of how Caleb Williams played? What do you make of the job that Ben Johnson is doing? Again, any time that your performance as a head coach is attached to George Halas in one way, shape, or form, that's what Ben Johnson has done. No coach since 1947 has started the season 0-2 and then won their next four. Since George Halas did it in 1947, Ben Johnson has now done it in 2025. What do you think of the 2025 Bears, who are, they would have been tied for first, I know, shoulda, coulda, woulda, had a chance to be tied for first place in the NFC North if the Cardinals could have beat the Packers on Sunday. Packers get the win, but it gives you an idea that the Bears, how close they are. Who knows if the Buccaneers can beat the Lions today in Detroit, the Bears would have a chance to be in second place in division behind the Packers. I can tell you this, though, they are not in last place. That is the home of the Minnesota Vikings as of now in the NFC North. Before we take a look at the decision to go for it on fourth down, which the Bears false started and then had a chance to just go ahead and kick a field goal, I got to say, watching Luther Burden and Colston Loveland, I know they're not getting a ton of run as of now, although Luther Burden, you know, he was targeted, what was he, targeted twice. He had one reception for 22 yards. It's not bad. Colston Loveland targeted four times, three receptions, 24 yards. I feel like Colston Loveland's going to be a star. I don't have a ton to go on that, but he's so young. He's 21 years old. He just looked like he belongs. And same for Luther Burden, by the way. Like, they're not getting a lot of usage. I think there's a lot of shifts in formations, and Ben Johnson may not have the trust as of yet. But depending on the Cole Kmet injury, he left with a back injury, we could end up seeing more of Colson Loveland. Olin Kreutz showed a great moment of him blocking. So Loveland, with as young as he is, and he just looks like he belongs when he gets out there. I think he and Luther Burden, I think they're going to be players. I do. Is there enough to go around? Well, the passing game will need to get better. Caleb Williams, 15 of 26, 172 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception. This was a game that really was driven by the defense and their four takeaways, and driven by the running game as well. The Bears had 222 yards on the ground, 40 carries, 222, 5.6 yards per carry average. DeAndre Swift, 6.5 average. Kyle Manungai, how about that? The rookie gets his first touchdown, 13 carries, 81 yards for a 6.2 yards per carry average. Okay, so let's talk about Ben Johnson going for it. And what did you make of that? 312-644-6767. Did you love the aggressiveness, or did you think that it may have been a careless decision for him to go for it? Moose Johnston sets it up. Let me set it up first before we get to it. But you got 4:28 to go in the third quarter. Bears are up 20-14, deep in the red zone. Here's Moose Johnston on Fox.
Fourth and goal for the Bears. Williams drops the snap, and that'll end the drive, but a flag is down. And a false start is going to save Chicago.
False start, double clutch by the center. That's a 5-yard penalty. Fourth down.
And that false start may buy Chicago 3 points. Without the false start, this drive is over.
Now let's remember the first half, too. That was a double clutch on the snap, but it was in the tight red zone in the first half where Drew Dolman didn't give Caleb Williams the ball on the snap, and Mike Pereira came on, and that should have been penalized as well.
So the double clutch, but what a break for Chicago.
Oh, my goodness. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, because that was not good at all on that play.
Yeah, the exchanges in this game between Drew Dolman, Caleb Williams, really the full starts, the penalties, 10 penalties for 92 yards. Let's hear from Moose Johnston before the play in itself what he thought of the decision.
Fourth and goal from the two. What do you do if you're Ben Johnson?
I'm going to kick a field goal and get it to 9 points and make it a two-possession game. But again, let's not forget who Ben Johnson learned under. I mean, Dan Campbell is as aggressive as anybody going for it on fourth down. We talked about the drive for the Saints to start this half and how important it is. Here's another critical snap, one of those 3 to 5 plays that you have to win if you want to win the game.
All right, so that was Moose Johnston on Fox before the play when he said, I would take the field goal, but we know who Ben Johnson is, and we know where he stems from and how aggressive Dan Campbell was. Now, I was with Moose on that one simply because of how great the defense was playing. So you felt like, let's get it to a two-possession game, and then you'd have a chance to let the defense go to work. I also think that Ben Johnson is coaching this team a little bit to let's see what they're made of, or let's see where we're at with where we want to go, right? Like, at times, you can't always just play it safe. Take Caleb Williams, for example. Ben Johnson isn't just drawing up plays for Caleb that he thinks they'll work. He's also trying to help him grow as a quarterback. So if you're operating in a place to ask them to grow and to get better and to challenge them, then at times you have to just say, let's see what we can do here. Or perhaps he's just trying to provide them the confidence that he believes in them in getting it done. Because the safer play would have been my thought process, where your defense and the way that Dennis Allen was calling it, you had to feel really good about your defense. And if you do, then you take your points. Then you make a 6-point game, a 9-point game. It becomes a 2-possession game. You're somewhat late, 4 minutes left to go in the third quarter. But I don't think that's how Ben Johnson wants to call a game. So maybe in that scenario, the way I'm looking at it may have been the right thing to do. But the long play, the play where it's like, this is the team that we want to be down the road, so let's be that team now. That's what it felt like the decision-making was with Ben Johnson. 312-644-6767. Aaron is with us on the road. Hey, Aaron, you're on 6M of the Score.
Hey, good morning, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing really well. You're asking, you know, what's our opinion of the Bears moving forward? Like, who is this team?
Yep.
And I kind of looked back, and for me, I believe that the team that we've seen the last 4 weeks, especially today, would have won the game against the Vikings.
I would agree with that.
And that's exciting as a fan to be able to say we're not where we were last year at 4-2. We've got some real foreshadowing, you know, for us to look forward to. And I'm excited about the coaching staff, not just Ben Johnson. We have heroes up and down the line, and it's exciting. It's been a while since I've had this kind of hope. Not that I'm all that excited about Baltimore next week.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to the rest of the season, man.
Yeah, Aaron, that's interesting. So does that make you simply just one win better, or do you project that out to this team being that much better at the end of the season?
This is I believe this is a winning team. I believe we're going to be over 500, and I think that I'm curious to see what the Buccaneers do against the Lions tonight. And I'm interested in playing the Lions and the Packers and the Vikings and seeing what we can do where we're all bunched up right now. Someone's going to pull ahead, and right now we have a legitimate path to do so.
Yeah, I would agree. Aaron, thanks for the phone call. And you're right as far as being bunched up, right? Like you have to feel good about that. No one in division, and take into account, and Aaron said it, the Lions play tonight. So, you know, the Lions still haven't played this weekend. But looking at the standings in the NFC North, no team has more than four wins. Packers are 4-1-1. The Lions are 4-2. The Bears are 4-2. The Vikings are 3-3. So it is bunched up, as Aaron said, and the Bears still have four games left in division. They've played the Lions once, they played the Vikings once, so they still have one more of those of each of those opponents, and then they have not played the Packers yet. I don't think they play the Packers until week 14, and then they have them week 14 and week 16. It was also interesting what Aaron said, and he said he's nervous about playing the Baltimore Ravens, which you should, because the Ravens, we know how good they've been in recent years. So you've got a two-time MVP in Lamar Jackson, who's returning off that hamstring injury, but they're also 1-5, right? Like, you're 1-5, and you're looking at the Saints, who you beat yesterday, and say, well we've got to beat a 1-5 team. You did. But the Ravens are somewhat of a different 1-5. You know what you think of that organization. You know what you think of John Harbaugh. You know what you think of Lamar Jackson. Problem is, the defense has also been bad for the Baltimore Ravens. So it hasn't, you know, it's not like Lamar Jackson's been gone all season. He's just missed a couple of games. But I still don't think the Bears have a signature win, if you will, in 2025. Like, I know that they beat the Commanders, and that was a pivotal game last year. And the Commanders were in the NFC, or they were in the NFC Championship game last year. But that now is a team that is under 500. Like, the Bears do not have a win against a team who is currently standing over 500. In fact, two of those were against the Raiders, who are 2-5, and the Saints, who are 1-6. So you have a division that doesn't feel as great. There is not this is not an NFL season loaded with a bunch of juggernauts, but you have Bears wins combined against opponents who are 9-18-1. So it's still a little bit of who are we, who are they this NFL season. 312-644-6767. Joe is with us in Schaumburg. Hey, Joe, what's going on? You're on 670 The Score.
Hello, thanks for having me. I love your show.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, what I wanted to say was, the thing is, you know, I just see Caleb. I listen to his interviews. I don't know if he's anything more than a Justin Fields 2.0, or maybe just a level up. I don't think he has the tools to be that franchise quarterback. I just don't. And a lot of guys, you know, personality-wise, this guy's a really, really great guy. I mean, we went to DJ Moore's camp he had last summer with my son, and, you know, Caleb showed up to that. I mean, he was just a great personality, really lifted the atmosphere. I'm like, wow, it's so exciting to meet this guy. I can't believe he's here. But just watching his play, watching he can't get to the 3 second average that most quarterbacks need to be at that level. You know, with this release, he's running for his life. He's just, I don't know if it's a confidence issue or just a tools issue. Does he have them? He's got the coaching. I feel like he's got a good line in front of him, but I just feel like he makes too much out of every play where he almost loses a step or two. And then, you know, things can fall. Like, he should have had a touchdown in today's game, just at least one. You know, there are wide receivers, you know, just sitting around out there. DJ Moore was available wide open at one point, and Caleb scrambled. I'm like, what's going on with this guy?
Joe, you don't think he has the tools?
I mean, he can run. I think he can run, but as far as like an NFL passer, I don't see it. He doesn't have the accuracy. And I'm a Bears fan. Don't get me wrong, but I know I'm not the only one saying this.
No, you're not.
Open receivers out there.
No, you're not.
He's throwing the ball 3 yards to the right of the guy. I'm like, come on, this isn't, you know, I'm not saying I can do it, but they're not paying me $1 million to be out there either.
Joe, where are you in your patience with Caleb? Like, you know, taking into account he's on his second head coach, he's on his second offense and offensive coordinator, he's 23 years old, he's 6 games into year 2. Where are you in your patience?
I mean, I've seen Tyson Bajan out there, and I can see the difference in the timing.
Can you see the difference in arm strength?
And arm strength, the timing, the accuracy.
No, I'm saying
fantastic.
I can see the difference in a drastically different arm strength of making difficult throws between Caleb Williams and Tyson Bajan. You think their arm strength is similar?
If it is, their accuracy is not.
Accuracy. All right, Joe. Thanks for the phone call.
Those are low percentage catches. I mean, you need accuracy. You need yards per play. You know, you got a guy 5 yards, 7 yards out, and then you're throwing the ball, you know, 12 yards into a defender. Where are we going?
Joe, thanks for the call. All right, so Joe wants to see Tyson Bajan, which I've seen quite a bit on the text line this morning. 312-644-6767. Personally, I see a wide, wide, wide range in between Bajan's ability, speaking of tools, versus Caleb Williams. Like, I remember what Caleb Williams did against the Dallas Cowboys, throwing for about 300 yards, 4 touchdowns. We've seen the spectacular, the things he can do, right? Late in game, winning games. But he also has a 61% completion percentage this year. But just being able to understand and operate an offense isn't going to allow you to win big games against great defenses, right? Like Caleb Williams' athleticism, because I think at times we have to be careful not to be the ultimate prisoner of the moment, meaning we watch one game, he's good, he's the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. And then on the other side of that, we watch a game, he's bad. Well, we want to turn to the backup Division II guy undrafted. So where are we with Caleb Williams? 312-644-6767. Is this way of winning, the way they've been doing it, running the football, taking it away, is it sustainable? My issue with Caleb Williams this day is he didn't look ready to go from the jump. And I'm talking about the details. Because I'm not looking for greatness every single Sunday. Like, I'm someone who does recognize the Matt Eberflus, Shane Waldron era is how Caleb Williams began his time in the NFL. To now watching him get better, understand, go through his progressions, and then also be that ultimate athlete and someone who at times just looked like he has a knack for winning games in the NFL. But if I'm someone who has patience, I have to understand, it's going to take some time to learn the offense. And if it is all about timing and rhythm, then he may be off at times, and that's going to affect his completion percentage. So there's this place of patience versus some who just think he doesn't have it. Now, I look at Jaden Daniels. because we oftentimes we anoint quarterbacks immediately or we decide they're not any good immediately. Jaden Daniels is not having this brilliant sophomore year. He's hurt, but that was one of the concerns of him running as much as he was. I was looking at C.J. Stroud 2 years ago. C.J. Stroud kind of reset the bar of what we expect from our rookie quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud has been nowhere near what he did as a rookie with the Houston Texans. So is there a place of patience to say, hey, this is going to take a little bit of time, or do you just look at his inaccuracy and say, he doesn't have it, give me the backup? 312-644-6767. One thing that the Bears do have is a running game. We're going to hear from DeAndre Swift in just a moment. Although, did you hear Terry Bradshaw on Fox try his best to do this DeAndre Swift touchdown highlight?
Winning streak, DeAndre Smith.
Swift. Yeah.
That's what I said. I know. Swift. Straight up the middle, 11-yard touchdown, 20-7 all Bears over the Saints.
Can we give Terry Bradshaw a break on doing the highlights?
We really do.
I just really do. You know, he's 77 years old. First of all, doing highlights is not easy.
Is it?
It's not, and I would venture to guess it's probably more difficult when you're 77
years
old.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, at his age, yes.
And by the way, he didn't start in the game as a sportscaster. He started as a Super Bowl winning quarterback with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it's not like he's, you know, been working on calling these highlights since he was 18 years old. What did we get? We got a DeAndre Swift and a DeAndre Smith. I like how he changed and got both of those incorrect. But if you're going to let him do it just because it's fun to listen, make mistakes, I mean, let's not pick on the guy, right? Do you hear? I don't see Howie Long call highlights?
He does it occasionally. Yeah. Like all of them do it. Like Gronk does this, Trey Ham does it. They all do it occasionally.
I don't want to hear Gronk do it.
Gronk is hilarious.
I don't find it funny. You find Gronk funny?
Of course.
No, I don't. You know what isn't funny, and they're not messing around, is the Bears running game. DeAndre Swift spoke to the media after the game. Here's what, is it Smith? No. What did Terry call him? DeAndre Smith. Here is DeAndre Swift.
Physically, DeAndre, how do you get yourself ready when you're on the injury report, you're battling some things, and just getting...
I'm sticking to my routine and then being my best when my best was needed.
All right, so that was DeAndre Swift. He spoke to the media for 3 minutes after the game. We just had that one clip. He goes 19 carries, 124 yards, 6.5 yards per carry on the ground. Let's hear from Kyle Long, because Kyle Long on CBS Sports, as we're talking about young Caleb Williams, what we expect of him, the last time the Bears had a four-game winning streak, well, guess what? Kyle Long was on that football team, and he was talking to Adam Schein on CBS Sports. Adam says, I like the way the Bears are playing. So does Kyle Long.
When I spoke to Ben Johnson during training camp, right before they went and played the Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions, he said to me in a hallway, we were by ourselves, and I was like, what kind of football team do you have? And he goes, I'll have more for you after the first 4 weeks, but I can promise you this. We are going to fly around. Dennis Allen's got the defense right, and we're going to be physical up front. The way they've put teams away has been just that. It's been right behind their best players. You saw Darnell Wright get out there last week, block two guys to seal the football game on a pin-pull toss. This week, DeAndre Swift running between the tackles, okay? Double teams are the flavor of the month right now for the Chicago Bears. They can run it, they can throw it, and like I said about Caleb Williams, when it becomes time for crunch time, this young man has delivered.
That was Kyle Long on CBS Sports, and as the Bears are establishing their identity, this is what Ben Johnson envisioned it as. Of course, the passing game is going to come along with it. I think Ben Johnson recognizes that that may be the last part to arrive because it's the most challenging. But most importantly, physicality up front, and Olin Krute said it in the postgame show, one of the reasons why those run fits worked as well as they did is because the defense had to prepare for a passing game that features Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, DJ Moore, Luther Burden, Colston Loveland, and so on and so on. One more from Kyle Long. Kyle Long says, listen, you can't always put the onus on the quarterback. He knows.
And I do as well. And they got their head coach hiring correct with Ben Johnson. And we've seen it with Dennis Allen as well on the defensive side of the ball. And you know what? I know that there are Bears fans out there that are crazy about this football team. And I'll tell you who was – I was somebody that was part of the 2018 Bears team where we had Mitchell Trubisky as the quarterback, who was a highly drafted player, and there was a lot of buzz around him. And Matt Nagy came in with Mitch Trubisky, and I watched the way that that young quarterback was able to take his game to the next level. But the great thing about coaches like this, they don't put all of the onus on their quarterback. It's not just up to Caleb Williams to drop back and throw 52 times, get sacked 8 times, maybe throw 3 touchdowns and have 2 interceptions. No, 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 no. This is a football team that you're watching in Chicago.
That was Kyle Long on CBS Sports reminding us that yes, we want the quarterback to be great. Yes, we're on the hunt for one of those in Chicago, but it's also a team game. And so when you have Dennis Allen, who was formerly of the New Orleans Saints, who can scout the team as well as he did, he put the Bears defense in the perfect place. And the Bears running game back-to-back weeks have been exceptional. Hey, this Sunday, join the Score and Circus Sports Illinois and Timothy O'Toole's Pub in Gurnee. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Molly will host our pregame show there from 9 to noon, then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Baltimore. That's Sunday at Timothy O'Toole's in Gurnee, sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank. And great clips. Coming up next, have you reassessed how good the 2025 Bears can be? That's next on 6-7 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Airo can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.